When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we continue. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We inch closer and closer to the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes as we are waiting and waiting to see who is going to win the NBA draft lottery. The most likely odds to win the draft lottery with the new format from a few years ago, Detroit, Houston, and San Antonio with 14% of their lottery probability to get the number one overall pick. Charlotte, 12.5%. Portland, 10.5%. The Magic, 9%, Indiana, the Pacers, 6.8, the Wizards, 6.7, Utah, 4.5, Dallas, 3.0, Chicago, 1.8, OKC, 1.7, Toronto, 1%, and then New Orleans with 0.5% to go get the number one overall pick. So we're going to wait and wait and wait to see who does get the number one overall pick, and then they will be taking Victor Wembanyama, who... The praise for Victor Wembanyama, who we've now heard for a long time. A lot of us have not been able to see him play, and I'm not expecting anyone to be an expert, but you had Adrian Wojnarowski earlier today of ESPN say he's the greatest prospect in the history of team sports. So that tweet, Hickey, gets sent out, and I'm going to bring this up. Peter Schwartz, who does updates here on CBS Sports Radio, quote tweets this. And says, I had to look it up who this guy is. Never heard of him until just now. The Victor guy, I mean, not Woj. That's embarrassing. I'm sorry. And I love Pete. And I quote tweeted right away. And I'm like, has your head been stuck in a bucket of ranch? And I kind of had fun with it. And Pete's response, it was even more embarrassing than the first part of the tweet. He's like, can you tell me who Gavin Adler is without looking it up? I have no clue who that is. So I looked it up, and he was the number one overall pick in the lacrosse draft this year. Pete, I know you love lacrosse because they give you a bunch of free tickets and all that stuff, but we're doing a national radio show. You're a national update anchor for sports radio. You're not giving updates on lacrosse until, what, the men's Final Four here and there. Every single show, tonight, tomorrow, once we find out who the number one overall pick is going to be talking about Victor Wembanyama. So that's just absolutely ridiculous. And you know what? I just saw this during the break because I saw DA was crushing him. I was crushing Peter Schwartz. Peter Schwartz actually deleted the tweet. But it's like that's got to be something that you don't admit out loud. And I thought it was a bad look for the network, if I'm being honest. Like, if you go through the praise that Victor Wembanyama has received, it's crazy. It's through the roof. When you go through guys like Steph Curry, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and LeBron James, and look what Woj said. Now, you could argue there was a LeBron James guy, maybe he shouldn't say that, but this has been some serious, serious praise for Victor Wembanyama. Steph Curry said that Victor is a cheat code. Giannis Antetokounmpo said he's never seen anyone like Victor Wembanyama. And LeBron James called Wembanyama an alien. But Peter Schwartz doesn't know who Victor Wembanyama is until today. That's just inconceivable to me. So that will be it on the just trashing of Peter Schwartz right there. But my oh my, Hickey, that's a brutal look for Peter Schwartz. And I almost want to say I can't believe it, but the fact that his argument back is, do you know this lacrosse player without looking it up? Give me a break. Give me a break.
Not a good look whatsoever on either the first tweet or the follow-up tweet. That is without a doubt sure. To your other point, if you want to move past that, then this...
this is Hickey reeling me back in. I like it. Okay, go ahead.
The comparisons feel outrageous. Like, talking about this being the best prospect ever, being that, like, LeBron be damned, it feels like they're setting him up for failure in all reality. Because this is, like, this is supposed to be, by all the hype, the greatest basketball player we'll ever see. Ever see.
Are you telling me you don't believe he'll reach the height?
I don't know. I'm going to be a betting man. Absolutely not.
All right. Victor Wembanyama, I'm reserving your spot right now in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame.
Congrats to you, Charlotte. If you land him, you just got a Hall of Fame player and the best player to ever play in this league. But it's like, you hear the way people talk. I mean, no one has seen him play. I have no idea if he's going to be any good or not.
Hold on. There have been people that have seen him play. Like Steph, Giannis, LeBron. If you go back to their comments, it's all based off moments where they said that they have seen him play. And Giannis's brother, I guess, played with him or something. I was reading online and things like that.
Are they watching highlights? Are they watching games? I don't know. I mean, are you looking at the competition that he's playing against? I mean, these are all questions that I think are just valid in terms of, like, not even trying to call him a bust. Just let's just give the kid a chance in terms of the hype is getting, at this point, so insane.
Well, it's because how freakishly big he is and how quickly he moves and how he shoots the ball. I'm not telling you that I'm an expert and that I've seen a lot, but it's the athleticism.
Get the reason why, but I'm just saying, like, the way people talk about him is just you are giving him no chance of succeeding. Because if he's anything short of surpassing Michael Jordan and LeBron James, he's a failure. That's basically what everyone's telling you, and that's ridiculous.
And usually in the NBA, you got to kind of earn your respect. That's why those words have more power and more clout when you hear from the three players that they're coming from. In LeBron, who we all know is one of the greatest players ever, Steph Curry, who's the greatest three-point shooter ever, and up until this playoffs, and you could still probably make the case for it, Giannis being the current best player in the NBA. You don't get praise like that. You're not wrong in terms of the hype has been outrageous. I don't know how to measure how legit or not it is because I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and pretend that I'm a Victor Wembanyama expert, but it is pretty impressive that he's got the praise from those three guys. Like, the Woj talk today is just the Woj talk. That doesn't really do much for me, but hearing it from Steph, from Giannis, and then also LeBron is pretty significant. Now, I will say, it's not always necessarily if you're talented enough to get there. It's, can you stay healthy? Because the last time we've seen a prospect really been hyped just to a ridiculous level was Zion Williamson. Like, in college, you had Barack Obama sitting courtside at a Duke UNC game. Wasn't that the game where Zion exploded, burst through his shoe?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
so
right.
Think of the hype that was there. And I'll never forget, I covered the draft in when it was here in New York. And I went to his media availability. It was a zoo to talk to Zion Williamson. And so far, Zion Williamson has been a bust because he hasn't been able to stay healthy. He hasn't been on the court. So Victor may be as talented as what the stars are saying right now, and he may go on to be the next great player in NBA history, but you got to stay healthy as well. And that's an enormous and the biggest part of it is as well. But I'm just curious, and we'll find out in hopefully a few moments, where it says the reveal is going to be in 8 minutes and 36 seconds. Hickey, I will take the over on that. But wherever he goes, you wonder what the year one impact is. Because with the praise that he's getting, you're expecting him to overtake the league like LeBron James did. You go through all of those quotes that we just gave you. The one that carries the most weight, no offense to Steph, no offense to Giannis, is LeBron James. Because LeBron knows what it's like to be the number one talked about guy, the sensation, the phenom. And in that first chapter in Cleveland, what was so impressive was LeBron carried that team with a bunch of no names. There was no other star player on that team. And the third year into the league for LeBron, he got to the NBA Finals. And I know now we're in this bizarre era where there's no super teams and it's dynamic duos. We've seen some players, one star, win a championship pretty much on his own with the roster. when you go throughout the last few years, whether it was Dirk with the Mavs or Kawhi with the Raptors, maybe argue Giannis with the Bucks. But I just wonder what the year one impact, or the first 3 year impact, let's go, for Victor Wembanyama is, because if memory serves me right, LeBron in year one missed the playoffs, then year two made the playoffs, and then year three he made it to the finals. And I just wonder, wherever he goes, how quickly, if he's going to get compared to some of these all-time greats, what the immediate impact is. And the other thing is, where do you want to see him go? We just went through all the teams and the probability. Two teams stand out to me. Portland and Orlando. With Banchero showing what he could do last year, I think that would be fun. But really, Portland, with Dame basically saying, I don't want to go through a rebuild. I want to use these picks to go get proven stars. With how this guy is touted, maybe bringing in a Victor Wembanyama says, and Dame has been so loyal to Portland, that gives Dame that feeling of, okay, I want to stay there. And maybe that's the missing piece for Dame to finally take Portland to the level that Dame wants to take Portland to in the worst way possible. So those are the two destinations. I think a lot of other people would say Portland and maybe Orlando. I'll be stuck on a little bit of an island. But those are two that jump out to me right away, Hickey.
And Portland to me is a no-brainer because, I mean, again, everyone's talking about him being the better prospect than LeBron James. If you're getting the greatest NBA prospect to ever grace this earth, along with Damian Lillard, we should, in theory, then be talking about the Blazers in 2 or 3 years as a Western Conference title threat. And all of a sudden being back and, as a legitimate contender sooner rather than later. So if you're Dame, at this point, you've stayed so long, you've seen some dark days. If you have this golden parachute coming towards your way, don't see why that would all of a sudden now want to drive him out of Portland. And again, maybe he finally gets the sidekick, the number two player that actually needs to truly get over the hump, win the West, and get to the NBA Finals.
Or if they're going to, they're not, whoever gets the number one pick, here's the hot take of the night. They're not trading the pick. So if Dame is insistent on wanting to get that pick for a proven player, maybe that's what starts Dame's departure from Portland as well. The other thing that I think is fascinating here, I don't know about you, Hickey, but it is still amazing to me how long Greg Popovich has hung around for and has continued to coach since all those great Spurs players have departed playing in the organization. Now, Pop is 74. If they get the number one overall pick, it's like, now how much longer does Pop end up coaching for? Because I thought Pop would be retired by now. And they've missed the playoffs with the last 4 years, I think it is. So it gets to one of those points where he's obviously not thinking about going anywhere, I would imagine. But if he gets Wembanyama, I don't know when then Greg Popovich is going to hang it up.
That's a guy I can't predict him. Being like Bruce Arians, where he wants to turn the team over at a good time.
Yeah.
I could see him coaching, let's say, if they do get the number one overall pick, win the lottery, coaching two years, get the team heading in the right direction, and then hand it off to a longtime assistant or someone that he trusts and kind of, allow them to take over the team, not being a total dumpster fire like they are right now.
Now, you want to know who would be the most fun if they got the number one overall pick? And it's only a 3% chance of happening, but it's Dallas. We all talk about the future of Luka Doncic. Imagine if Dallas ends up getting the number one overall pick tonight, Hickey. Especially with the tanking and getting into the lottery to give them like 3% chance it's not going to happen. But that would be a great, great storyline.
We need a camera on Mark Cuban for that. I can imagine the celebration, the air punches.
You know what, though? Spineless Silver doesn't have it in him to rig the lottery. He doesn't. He doesn't have the cojones to do that, Adam Silver.
We've seen crazier things.
David Stern would do it.
Hey, he loves the cold envelope. Allegedly, yep. Of course, allegedly.
David Stern, if he was still alive, would cold envelope this to get Dallas the number one overall pick. That would be my takeaway. Now, it's only a 0.5% chance of happening. Imagine if it ends up being New Orleans. After getting Zion and him being a disappointment, the next thing you know, okay, boom, you get Victor Wembanyama. That would be a little bit interesting. Take a timeout. We'll come on back. So it says the reveal will start in 2 minutes. On the other side, we'll keep you updated on who gets the number one overall pick. But Doc Rivers out in Philadelphia. What will the Sixers do next? John Marks from Sports Radio 94 WIP and CBS Sports Radio will join us when the Zach Gelb Show returns in 5 minutes.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We will keep you up to date on who wins the draft lottery, a.k.a. the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. But let's get out to the guest line right now and welcome in a good friend to the show. Does a great job here on CBS Sports Radio. I believe Sundays, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. And he does a fantastic job Monday through Friday on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Doc Rivers out, so let's bring John Marks in to discuss. Johnny Marks, what's happening?
Doc Rivers out. We talked a couple weeks ago, kind of previewing the Celtics series, and it actually played out a lot differently than I thought, but the end result wasn't any different, I suppose.
Yeah, it was actually weird. I thought that the Sixers were going to lose this series probably in six games, and then when they took that 3-2 lead, Johnny Marks, I'm like, uh-oh, maybe this is their year that they actually get over the hump, and unfortunately for you, we know that wasn't the case.
Yeah, game six, and obviously we'll talk about some of game seven and just the utter collapse that happened in the second half, but the real opportunity to win, they had a lead in the fourth quarter at home against the Celtics, and they missed 10 straight shots midway to late in the fourth quarter, and Tatum started hitting shots. Remember, Tatum went into the fourth quarter with 3 points.
Yeah,
right?
It was terrible.
All right, so like the missed opportunity of not capitalizing on Tatum having a horrific game and having a fourth quarter lead and being at home and allowing the Celtics to remain alive for Tatum to get hot late, which he did. Ultimately, that's the biggest spot in the series. Now, you had a chance to come back game seven. The first half, they kept it close, and they even had a lead at one point, a 9-point lead at one point, but we know what happened in the second half.
Yeah, the no-show in the final 4 or 5 minutes of Game 6 is what really ended this series, because heading into Game 7, at first I thought the Sixers were going to have a shot because that series is just so bizarre, but when Vegas put out the spread of Celtics as a 7.5-point favorite, I go, okay, they're begging you to plus the points with the Sixers, and that was Vegas telling you the Celtics were going to blow them out.
Yeah, and in Game 5 in Boston, there was also a big line. I don't remember if it closed at 7 or 7.5. So you still, and they won the game outright. So you still have that carrot dangling in front of you of, like, they just went up in Boston. The pressure's now on Boston in Game 7. Who says that they can't do it again? And unfortunately, Zach, when your two stars, when the reigning MVP or the newly crowned MVP of the league and a top 75 player of all time in James Harden don't show up for Game 7 and they quit in the second half after they go down big time points, right? Like losing Game 6 was a gut punch and it hurt. But what happened in Game 7 is unacceptable, and now you're faced with James Harden coming back and what's going to happen with Joel Embiid and everything else.
We'll get to all that in just a second, but the Embiid part of it, for so many years, Embiid would get a pass for some poor playoff performances just because of the construction of the roster and the poor construction. I'm not saying this roster was the greatest thing in the world, but it feels like, at least from afar, with how he didn't show up at the end of Game 6, and then Game 7 was a complete no-show, that this was the first time in one of these series that didn't go the Sixers' way where Embiid got dragged through the mud, and deservedly so. Was that the same way locally in Philadelphia, where this was the first time Embiid faced a lot of serious criticism?
Last year, and after they lost Game 6, well, actually, you know what? No, last year, I was one of the rare ones that was so angry at Embiid, because after the game, where he didn't play well in Game 6 and losing to Miami, he was fawning over Jimmy Butler, and he said, oh, I thought we were getting Houston Harden, but, oh, you know, that's okay. He's not the player. You know, I was disgusted with the way that he came out. If you watch that game from the beginning, he came out with no urgency. he came out looking like he was in some kind of a malaise. And it's like, hold on a second. This is game seven. You're on the road. You were just saying a couple days ago, this is the games you dream about playing. And you come out with no sense of urgency. And he looked bad from the beginning. And then what happened in the second half where they just started getting crushed. Boston went on a 33-5 run after the game was tied. Tobias Harris hit a three. Tied the game up, and then Boston went on a 33-5 run, and it was over, and they quit, and it looked like they quit. But then after the game, he does the whole thing again where he blames other people, and he says that James and I can't do it alone, and just this whole attitude. And he made a joke about Giannis.
That was the one that annoyed me the most, John.
Oh, my God.
When you listen to the entire thing with the Harden thing, it didn't really bug me. You probably didn't need to go there. But the Giannis part, that was Embiid trolling, and he was laughing, and he couldn't even keep a straight face. I thought that was the worst look for him after the game.
No, it was, and you're right. If you listen to the whole context of what he was saying about Harden, it's not as bad as if you just take the shortcut. But his entire attitude when he was up there, and I'll just be totally honest, it didn't seem like he was all that bothered by it. It didn't seem like that he just lost a Game 7 where this was a legacy game. If he went, like, look at Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum set a record for game 7 points, right? Like, Jason Tatum just elevated his stature and himself in the NBA. Meanwhile, James Harden and Joel Embiid look like chokers again. And Embiid was up there telling jokes, trolling Giannis, smiling, and saying, you know, more or less, like, I already won my MVP. I won the trophy. He didn't seem all that bothered by it. Meanwhile, when you have 76ers fans that have now seen this year after year after year after year where you get to a certain point and you can't get past it, man, it was just a really bad look.
The other thing, too, is I remember a few years ago, I think it was on Mother's Day, too, John Marks, when they lost to the Raptors, that crazy Kawhi Leonard shot. You saw Embiid crying and the emotion of it. It seems like that Embiid is long gone where you don't see those emotions from him anymore.
Yeah, and you had Father's Day. They're covering all the holidays, the 76ers here. Father's Day was the Trae Young, Ben Simmons, wouldn't shoot the ball. Game 7, another Game 7 at home that Doc blew and that team blew. And while Ben Simmons got pointed, he got the finger pointed at him for that game, and rightfully so. Joel Embiid was bad. He had a lot of turnovers. And he, again, in a big spot, in a big game, being the type of player that he is, he came up small. I don't know about Joel Embiid right now. I feel like that he is the city turning on him from being out of here. Because if everybody continues to love Embiid and he's so talented and he's the MVP and everything else, he'll be fine. But the minute the city turns on him and the team turns on him a little bit, he'll ask to be traded. At least that's my prediction.
And I don't think that's actually the worst thing in the world for the Sixers, because as crazy as this is, the guy just won the MVP, probably only has a championship window in Philly for 2 to 3 more seasons.
Yeah.
And they have wasted that window already. I have zero confidence in Daryl Morey to get this thing right. I've been saying it for years that I believe Daryl Morey is one of the more overrated executives in all of sports. So if you're not going to win with Embiid, you would get a great return for him right now. It would almost be better if he did request a trade.
Well, you're kind of stuck because Embiid is – there's no denying how talented Joel Embiid is, and you're waiting for him for the light to kind of click, boom, like, oh, this is what I need to do. And he did make a lot of strides this year with maturity and being more of a professional, but then when push comes to shove again in the biggest spots in the playoffs, he comes up small. But I'm not at a point right now where I'm looking to trade him. I'm wondering if I'm ever going to win with him, but I got to try again because, like you said, that 2 to 3 year window is still there. The problem, Zach, is you're kind of stuck. You have Maxey. Are you going to trade Maxey to try to get somebody else in there? Maybe you have Harden. He has a player option. He can opt out. He can re-sign long-term with the Sixers, which I don't want. He could go to Houston or another team. You have Tobias Harris, who has an expiring contract, which may have some value. So if you're the Sixers, what can you really do to get yourself to where you feel like you're a championship team or a championship caliber team? They were close this year, but it's tough to get over that hump. They haven't been out of the second round. So I'm not sure what they do. My guess would be that they try to improve the team through the Tobias Harris expiring contract. And if Harden comes back, that's kind of what the team looks like with the new coach.
And you know Morey's going to do everything in his power to bring back James Harden. It would be stupid, but then once again, what else are you going to do? Because I don't think Dame Lillard's going to wind up in Philadelphia, even though in theory that would be great.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I would rather not have James Harden than have James Harden. I would rather have nothing in return other than now you have to try to fill his spot. And James Harden led the league in assists. It's not like he wasn't productive during the regular season. I mean, I've just had it with him. He's not a winning player. Last time we talked, we both agreed that he wasn't good enough. And meanwhile, he scored 40 some points in two games. And actually, the Sixers might have lost in five if James Harden's not on the team. It's not like that he didn't have good games, but again, it continues to follow him wherever he goes. You play like that in decisive games and elimination games, I don't want you. Last year they lost to Miami in game six. That was an elimination game. They lost to Miami in game six. This year, losing in game seven to Boston. He took a total of five shots in the second half of both of those games and made one shot, a three-pointer. He was 1 from 5 in two second-half elimination games in the playoffs. I don't need to know any other stat. I don't need to watch games. I don't need to pretend James Harden's this player that can actually have an impact. When you take five shots and you're a top 75 player of all time, you take five shots in an elimination game, two second halves, and score 3 points, out! I want you out. And Joel Embiid's not that far behind. I'm doing one more shot with Joel Embiid. If it doesn't work, then you're going to have to move on.
And here's the scary part, too. I think Daryl Morey is dumb enough to do this. It would not surprise me if Harden's back with Mike D'Antoni as the coach.
I'd be surprised if Harden wasn't back at this point. They've been using Houston as leverage really since Christmas Day was when the first report came out that said that Harden would go back to Houston and they have all this cap room. So I think it's leverage for against the Sixers. Like, hey, if you think you're going to do a 2 or 3 year contract extension, I have a max deal in Houston and I'll go there. And I believe Harden would go there too. It's such a loser move. And if Mike D'Antoni is the head coach of the 76ers 3 days from now, would I be surprised? No, I wouldn't. He's got PJ Tucker there. He's recreating the Rockets. Unfortunately, that's from 5 years ago. No, I mean, honestly, bro, like, this is a disaster for having the MVP of the league and just being game six with a chance to go to the Eastern Conference Finals at home. This has turned from a great story into a total disaster in the course of a week.
Where does Doc Rivers, he gets fired today, no one should be surprised by that, but where does he fall in the pecking order of blame when you look back at this series?
Very little blame. People are actually, because Doc doesn't have a lot of fans in Philly just because of the way that he kind of treated the fans, and he was very condescending, and he was arguing meditative early in his tenure here. I think he did a good job this year. He got let go, and that's perfectly fine. But the fans were, there was a lot of fans today that were mad that he was scapegoated almost. Like, that's what it felt like, was like, all right, well, Doc was scapegoated. James Harden, after the loss, was asked a question about his relationship with Doc, and he said, okay. And it was like, oh, Doc's getting fired. And it shows you Doc's getting fired, or Doc got fired, then now James Harden has some power in this organization.
Which is crazy,
and to your point, it tells me that he is coming back, and he's probably coming back long term.
Wow, how about that? You're not wrong. I agree with you. We were just talking about before you jumped on board, but it is such a joke. And that's the guy that needs to start getting criticism, is Daryl Morey, because he celebrated losing to the Warriors when he was with the Rockets, and he's basically doing the same damn thing over again. And everyone loves this guy.
He's making $12 million a year, I think, as well. So, Nat, and you know what,
Zach? Is Josh Harris stupid? Like, I'll just ask you that. That guy has all the money in the world, owns all these sports teams. How stupid is he to still employ Daryl Morey?
I don't think he's paying attention and knows any better. And what they really need is somebody that's kind of at the ownership level that is paying attention from day to day. When you're not running the team on a day-to-day basis, are you really paying attention? Here's what the owner of the Sixers, Joshua Harris, knows. This place is always sold out. He's making a lot of money, and they were just, again, relevant in the playoff picture. So, but to your point, like, he's on the clock. Daryl Morey's now on the clock. He's going to figure this out, because this very easily could blow up in his face in a year or two.
Last thing I'll ask you, you play the role of Jay Wright. If I'm Daryl Morey and I call you, hey, I want to offer you the Sixers coaching job, how do you think Jay Wright handles that?
So I think there's a chance, just because Jay, and I've spoken to him, and I'm sure you have as well, Zach, many times, where he's talked about, like, hey, it was tempting when NBA teams approach me. It's tempting not to think about being an NBA coach. The fact that he's retired from Villanova, and he's not leaving Villanova to take a pro job. He's already retired, so he's already removed from being the Villanova coach. He's been gone for a year, right? I think it makes it easier for him to go into the NBA if it's something that he wants to do. The question that I have is Jay Wright going to take the shot, the one shot he probably is going to take with Joel Embiid and James Harden and the rest of this roster? I don't know. I think there's one place he would be an NBA coach. I think it's Philly, and I don't know if he's going to be willing to do it with this mess. You pay him $15 million a year, he may change his mind, or he may say yes, by the way.
Yeah, that's also true. Johnny Marks, you can listen to him weekdays on Sports Radio 94 WIP and also right here on CBS Sports Radio Sundays, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. John, always great to catch up with you. Thank you.
Great stuff, man.
All right, here are the draft lottery results before we get to the update. Pelicans at 14, Raptors 13, Thunder 12, Magic 11, the Mavericks in at 10, so much for that tanking. Jazz 9, Wizards 8, Pacers 7, Magic 6, Pistons 5, Rockets go 4, the Portland Trail Blazers at 3, the Hornets at 2, and then as we were talking about right before we brought on Johnny Marks, Greg Popovich. Maybe he will never retire. Spurs get the number one overall pick, and they will draft Victor Wembanyama.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
So Detroit, Houston, and San Antonio had the greatest odds to land the number one overall pick to get the rights to draft Victor Wembanyama. So Detroit ended up getting the fifth pick. Houston ended up getting the fourth pick, and then the Spurs ended up getting the number one overall pick. And that's like another part of this where, sure, you don't get Victor Wembanyama if you were those other two teams, but then you don't even get the second pick in this upcoming draft. And I would assume the second overall pick is going to be Brandon Miller, the player out of Alabama. And obviously we've talked about him for what happened off the court and a lot of bad that happened off the court, and then what you've also seen from him on the court. So it's kind of nuts that, and we were talking about before we got the results, how you go through all those teams, if the Spurs ended up getting him, you wonder then how much longer Greg Popovich is going to coach. I'm kind of surprised that he's still coaching, but now when you get Victor Wembanyama and you have one of the greatest coaches of all time, Hickey, this is going to extend, I would imagine, whatever that finish line was for Greg Popovich to keep on coaching and when he was going to retire. Because if this guy, Victor Wembanyama, is as great as what everyone's saying, where you have Steph Curry and Giannis Antetokounmpo and LeBron James just gushing and oozing over Victor Wembanyama, if you're Greg Popovich and you know the love of the game is always there, this is going to extend how much longer he's probably going to want to coach. Steph called him a cheat code. LeBron James called Victor Wembanyama an alien. Giannis called Victor, he said he's never seen anyone play like him. So you go through that praise. If this kid can somehow meet the hype or even like 90% of the hype, you really wonder how quickly he takes the league by storm and how far you could take the Spurs in future years. And in NBA right now, that's the last 2 years has shown you it's pretty much wide open there for the taking.
Pop is one guy that's hard to predict, but at least right now it does feel like he's one of those guys that would stick around, you know, for another few years, kind of get the ship righted, make sure Wembanyama is developing right as he should and is in a spot where maybe 2-3 years he's ready to truly kind of be that number one guy on maybe a playoff team at that point and then probably hand it off. But if not, if he just wants to keep on winning and win another championship and this works out, you hit on Wembanyama. Now all of a sudden you have other players wanting to play with him. Could be it could be like Pete Carroll just on the sideline, young, you know, he's younger than his age would suggest, and he just is living life, coaching until 90 years old.
Now, this is via NBA Central. Does a great job getting these quotes out there. One rival scout to, I guess this is SpursTalk.com on the Spurs getting the number one pick, Hickey. I almost thought this was a fake quote at first, but it's on NBA Central, so I'm going to run with it. Quote, F that. Those guys have gotten enough luck already. They already got Tim and Dave. being able to draft the three best center prospects of the last 35 years is some bull bleep. How about that? That's a great quote.
I mean, hey, especially if you are the Hornets, if you're the Blazers, you're like, man, we've been down on our luck for a while. We could really use a bone here. And you see the team that, the Spurs, all the success they've had for a long time get lucky. It's like, you got to be kidding me. I totally get it. I'd probably the same reaction if I was on the Hornets or the Blazers or even a rival.
And the team that I feel the most bad for, and I know we're on in Charlotte, we're on WFNZ, and we love those listeners there, but it's really Portland. Because if you're the Trailblazers, you know in your heart it's best to trade Dame. For Dame and for your organization, because you're not winning with Dame. As great as Dame is, that organization has failed Damian Lillard. But if you wanted to reignite that hope and that sense of, okay, maybe we could go get Dame a championship, if they would have got the number one overall pick, then that conversation would be there. And with them not getting the number one overall pick, Hickey, we've exhausted all options in trying to get Dame in a position to win a championship in Portland. I really hope that this summer that Dame says to them, guys, it's time to trade me, and we figure out whatever that next chapter is in trying to get Dame a championship.
Well, I guess that's what I'll say is, look, you still, you're picking third, so you still have a chance to, get a Brandon Miller whose game would complement what Dame can really do. You can get Scoot Henderson, and then if Brandon Miller goes number two, you're still going to get.
But how long does it take for those guys to reach a level where you go, okay, not only are they playing great, but then also you could go get a championship with them? Dame doesn't want to go through that developing young player and waiting and the ups and downs that always occurs with pretty much any rookie that gets into the league.
Are we sure? At this point, he's had chances to leave. He's, it's been talked about now for the last few years of this is going to be offseason. And it's just it's at this point, it feels like a tired conversation in the sense that I don't think he's leaving until he actually, demands a trade, he's actually traded. This has been now, 3 years in a row? We've been talking about his future. Is he going to go? Is he going to stay? Does he want to stay? Does he want to go? He's put out, he himself almost just contradicts himself at times, where sometimes he'll say, I'm never leaving, I'm loyal here, everyone wants to push me out, I'm going to stay. And other times it's, I don't want to be here and develop young guys.
He thinks he's going to be viewed as a bad guy if he leaves an organization that he's been beyond loyal to. I think he has been grossly miscalculating that for years, because I will always go back to when all this stuff first started, when Portland used to carry us for every single hour. We had phones jammed, the lines absolutely jammed, the fans saying, I'd be fine. It's not Dame's fault, it's the organization's fault. So I don't think Dame would be viewed as a villain, especially years later, if he says, okay, it's finally time to depart.
But if he doesn't, want to leave, then he's never going to leave.
I don't know how this works, but Ben Gulliver put this out there. The Spurs obviously won the draft lottery, and the rights to select Victor Wembanyama with the ping pong ball combination of 14-5-8-2. The Trailblazers had the combination of 14-5-8-3. They missed by just one number on the final ball. Now, they're picking third. I don't know how the heck this thing actually works, but that was put out there by Ben Gulliver, who has covered the NBA with the Washington Post for a long time. So there you go, Hickey. You're gonna look confused.
What do those numbers even mean?
You're gonna
14-8-5-2.
The lottery balls, I guess, when they shoot up the machine and all that stuff and how it gets calculated. You look as confused as I am. I don't understand how it works. I'm just giving you the info that's out there.
All right.
And then he gave an update, Blazers, with the full list after the first three numbers were picked. The Washington Wizards had six of the possible 11 remaining numbers, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and barely missed. You know what that sounds like, by the way? Did you see were you watching ESPN2 for game six on Mother's Day when they started the Oilers game?
No.
Oh, so they start the broadcast and they have all the production and all that, but they had the countdown on the whatever they were playing, and you just kept on hearing 9, 10, then I think they skipped the number. They went 12, 13, 14, and you just heard beep, And it just went over and over and over and over again for probably about 45 seconds. And eventually, whoever the announcers were, you heard the announcers go on the screen. When I was reading those numbers, I just had that little voice in my head on the embarrassing job that ESPN did the other night. And what, on the main feed, Hickey, it was Sunday Night Baseball. That's why you had to wait to 10 p.m. Eastern for the ridiculous start time. And you had Robot Ravitch, Carl Ravitch, trying to do play-by-play of both games. Was that correct?
I was entertained. He was literally, there was a side-by-side screen. Left side was the Cardinals, Red Sox, I think was the game. Right side was the Oilers, Knights game.
There's three goals in the first 3 minutes.
He called a goal right away. And they score. Oh, wow. Just like that. And not a lot of enthusiasm, but it was kind of funny that you get a goal right away.
I forget the name of the player, but did you see on Sunday Night Baseball that he asked a player whose mother passed away when he was very young about that? It was bizarre. It was like basically, hey, talk about like your mother dying. That was very bizarre as well. It was cringeworthy. It was crazy.
Let's go back to a good time in your life. Remember when your mother died? Can we talk about that?
Yeah, it was what? Like while the player is mic'd up in a game.
During like trying to
yes!
remain focused.
You know when they interview the player
yes.
in the game? And,
which
and
is great.
He was asking about it, and the player, I forget the player's name, but the player handled it phenomenally. And I don't know, maybe they prepped him that they were going to like ask him about this because it was Mother's Day, but it was very, very bizarre. So I'm surprised to hear, and I think Ravitch is, I don't love Sunday Night Baseball. I said before, I think he's terrible during the Home Run Derby. But I was surprised that he handled the NHL thing from you. But there's also some broadcasters that you say are great that aren't that great. So, I don't know. Maybe I have to take that with a grain of salt.
Who's that?
Mark Jones. You love Mark Jones. He's been embarrassing
funny.
In the NBA
he's
postseason.
Funny.
First name De'Aaron. Last name him. Blah, disgusting. Zach Gelb Show, CBS.